Okay, so let's begin our service with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we welcome you here to Christchurch, your holy sanctuary. We pray that you will come and do marvellous things so that we will be glad and encouraged and know the mind of God today. And this we ask in your name. Amen. Amen. So while Spectrum leave us, I'm going to invite Sue to come up and to give some readings.
Our readings today are from Galatians 5, verses 16 to 23, and then 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Spiritual gifts. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
I was given this topic, thanks Karen, which is vast. Fruit and of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And you can only really scratch the surface of it. So I'm going to have a good scratch this morning, and feel free to scratch along with me. Apologies, therefore, if it's a little bit basic for some, but hopefully there's something that everybody can pick up from it. And I want to start off with, if we can get a shot of that picture. Oh, by the way, remember that the lady there, Calvin's mum? and his sister there. But remember Calvin's mum. She'll pop up into the talk later on with a bit of luck. But fruit and gifts. Starting off, the similarities. There's two lists that were read to us by Sue. One of the fruit and one of the gifts. And I was looking for what is there similar between them. And both gifts have got 9 items in them. And I thought, that's significant. So I looked up the biblical significance of the number 9, because there's quite often significance to numbers in the Bible. And I found 50-odd references, 45 in the Old Testament, and none of them have got any significance whatsoever. So there you go. Only thing I did find out was our salvation happened at the 9th hour Jesus died. And also, the Gentiles, the message first went to them. It was at the 9th hour that Cornelius, the first ever Gentile convert, got the vision from God. That's the only meaningful reference to number 9. Purely anecdotal, really. Anyway, moving onwards. Another similarity. They're both spirit-based. And yay, absolutely excellent. Because we need the spirit. But they're both spirit-based. I was saying to the earlier group this morning, the 8:45ers, when you were all snoring probably, I'd said you can get a moped boop, that goes along the road, and you get a Maserati that zooms along the road. They're both designed to carry a person from A to B. They both work using an internal combustion engine, so they are similar. But don't go up to a Maserati owner and say, that's a lovely moped you got, because he won't be very impressed. The similarities there, but they're totally different. Totally different. The only thing really of significance in similarities is the fact that they're both valuable. And I should have actually been showing you some slides as we go on, but they're both valuable. And we're going to look at the values later as we come. But enough about similarities, not an awful lot, really. Who's this guy? Albert Einstein, yeah. And none of us have ever met him, but we all know probably a little bit about him, possibly quite a lot about him. Calvin knows a lot about him. Really interesting guy. He had some characteristics which would have been what? Pardon? Well, he had some wild hair for a start. I mean, ever since Einstein, that's been the image of the mad scientist, hasn't it? You know, hair like, you know, it's, I was going to say like my wife, I won't get into dangerous ground there. You know, it's a bad hair day. That was one of the characteristics you always recognised from him. The other was he had a brain the size of a planet squeezed into that skull there. A couple of characteristics. And they were very much about him. One of them, you will see, it's very apparent, the hair. But the other one, quite different, the brain. You don't actually see it until you get to know the guy. And then you realise how fantastic his mind is. And that's about the differences as well in the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. In terms of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, all that sort of business, that's all about character. That's all about the visible bit, if you like. The gifts of the Spirit are all about capability, quite different. So you've got character and you've got capability. Another difference is the fruit, as all you gardeners will know, takes time to develop, whether you're growing it from first principles and popping a seed in the ground, or whether you've got a tree, you'll find it blossoms and then the fruit appears and it grows and grows and gradually ripens. It takes a period of time, whereas a gift is instant. If you know, at Christmas time, you've got sort of the meal out of the way and you've just settled down. And you're diving under the tree, and somebody's, here's a present for you. As soon as that's passed over, it's yours. There's no time involved. It's yours. Boom. instantly. So fruit grows, and the fruit of the Spirit needs to grow in us. And you know, to grow, things need to be nurtured. But also on the gift side, it's instant. Another difference, the fruit of the Spirit is for every Christian. Old Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." Born again. Rebirth. And that means that at that point, a bit of God's nature is implanted in you. But let's move on a bit. Oh, crumbs, I'm not really keeping up to date here, am I? Look at that. I do apologise for all this. There you are. That's what I've just been talking about. But moving on. The lady, Calvin's mum, in that photo earlier, dear friend of mine for over 50 years, she passed away in 2019, and I was at St. Peter's at the time, and somebody announced that she had now gone to be with her Lord in heaven, promoted to glory. And he then followed up by saying these words, "Winnie was the epitome of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control," which, as you'll know, is just got Winnie's name at the front of the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, because that was the nature of Winnie. She was just like that. It sort of oozed out of her, the love of God, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness. It epitomised her more than any person that I have met. And that was how her passing was announced. It was a little mini eulogy given to her. I wonder what people will say when we pass. Will they read those and say, "Yeah, Joe, Fred, he was the epitome of love, joy, peace"? I wonder. I've never heard it before, never heard it since, but that's how it came over. Let's move on. Fruit. She had the fruit of the Spirit oozing out of her. But what is fruit? Well, it's one fruit. We had 9 items listed there, but there's only one fruit, and that's a difficult thing to get your head round. Single fruit, but there's all these sort of flavours within it. Now, I popped down to Asda yesterday and got this bottle of juice, which says that it's orange, mango and passion fruit. And if you want to afterwards, you can taste some out the back there. It's still a bit chilled. It's got at least 3 flavours in it. But you can't pour it into 3 glasses and get one of orange, one of passion fruit and one of mango. When you taste it, you might think, "Oh yeah, I can taste the mango there. Oh, that's a bit of passion fruit." You can probably taste all the flavours, but they've been melded together. And there's no different lumps of mango or orange or anything else in there. It's all one. It's one fruit flavour. And although these 9 things come together, there should be one fruit. You don't just get given one or the other. You notice peace and joy there, I've highlighted. I did speak about peace, I think, about 18 months ago here, and spent a whole Sunday just preaching on that one. But apart from those two, which affect you or me individually, the others are outward going. They affect other people. How gentle or kind are we to other people? How do we love them? Are we faithful to them? Are we patient with them? They impact other people. It's also, when that's all oozing out of us, it's evidence of the Holy Spirit working within us. I mentioned old Nicodemus earlier, and there's the scriptures about him. It says, yes, You must be born again and be new. Absolutely essential. But when that old nature gets supplanted with the new one, there's a struggle goes on. God's nature is there. But we're told, Paul, in Ephesians there, is saying, take off that old nature. Throw that, give that the boot. Get rid of that and let the new one grow and blossom and come to fruition. He says there, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on that new self. Let it come to the fore. Ezekiel, the prophet, back right, way back, said these words, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. And that was a shadow of what was to come. Right, moving on a little bit, just park that for a minute. We'll come back and hopefully tie up some of these disjointed ends. Light and darkness. I have about my person here a torch. And if I do that, I can blind you. No, not quite. I can provide some light. And I can turn it on and I can turn it off. We're clever people, us humans, and we can make devices that will produce light. There isn't a device that will produce darkness. If the thing is shining, I can put my hand over it. All I'm doing is blocking out the light. It's still there, but I'm blocking it. You cannot have a device that will shine darkness around. It's not possible, because darkness is the default. Light displaces darkness in just the same way. Hot and cold. You can have a device that makes things hot. We've got radiators or something behind the seats here that almost make it warm in winter in here, if they're working. You only need one overcoat rather than two. But we can make heat. And the sun out shining out there, glorious, isn't it? And it's making heat. It's been producing it. But in about 5 million years, which is probably beyond our lifetimes, it's actually going to run out of fuel. And it'll whimper down and it will no longer be producing heat. We can produce heat. We cannot produce cold, though. Cold comes in the absence of heat. And you can think, I've got a refrigerator at home. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. Because the refrigerator, if you go round the back and feel, it's nice and warm at the back. The refrigerator is not producing cold. It's extracting heat. There's a big difference. You come to the reason for that. Cold is the default. That's why in space it's cold, very, very cold. Order and chaos. I gave the illustration earlier. We can make some fantastic gadgets, phones, hundreds of components in there, finely crafted, put together by some little Chinaman, sort of working for about tuppence an hour probably. But fantastic piece of technology. In a million years, that will be a pile of dust. Because the order that's gone into putting it there will decay into chaos. Now, why am I saying all that? Light, heat, order. Because good and evil are very much the same. Without goodness, evil will abound. The Irish, I think he was a politician, Edmund Burke, noticed this. He wasn't a Christian, as far as I'm aware, but he noticed this just as a matter of observation. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And there's a lot of truth in that, a lot of truth. And it's only when we've got goodness oozing out of us and we're acting in God's will that evil is pushed away. So just think about that. Let's move on. Personality. What is personality? Well, there's an argument about nature and nurture. And is it one or is it the other? And an illustration is, you get the local oik who's just been hauled up in front of the judge. And, you know, there's been some petty larceny, some arson, a bit of joyriding in cars, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that, he's just burnt the school down, you whatever, all that sort of thing. And the social worker says, he's a little angel, really. It absolutely is. He's a darling. It's his upbringing. It's his environment that's caused it. It's not really him. So this argument about nature and nurture, which actually is it? Well, actually, we're a product of both, really. A bit of each, nature and nurture. But the thing is, what about godality? You know, the personality is one thing. If we're actually children of God, what about our godality instead of our personality? Well, we know that we're told to be imitators of God. To be imitators. And that means that the fruit of the Spirit supplants God's nature into us. God's nature is in you and it's in me. The issue is, how much do we nurture it for it to come to fruition? Because it's there, but it's up to us to alter the environment it's in. Just as my wife goes out and spends hours with a hose racking up my water bill, you know, and all that sort of stuff, so that we can have some nice plants in the garden. If we don't nurture what God has put in it, in us, then, you know, we're on a hiding to nowhere, really. Our godality needs to be not just the God nature, but also a bit of nurture from ourselves so that it can ooze out. So what's all this about nurturing then? Only costs 3p to nurture. Prioritise, prayer and peruse. There you go, that's cheap, isn't it? Prioritise things in your life. Put God first. When you've got a choice of things to do, and one involves the church or doing God's will in some way, how do we prioritise our actions? Pray. Jesus prayed regularly. It said even at the end, he went out as usual. Regularly pray. And that's not talking at God. It's talking with God and listening to God. And the perusing bit, Bible study, reading our Bibles, studying what God's word is. That's all part of the nurturing bit. But anyway, enough about the fruit for the time being. Let's get on to the gifts of the Spirit. And there, I've put a lot of dots in there, otherwise there'd be pages of it. But the dots basically says to one is given and to another is given. And there you've got wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. I'm sure we're sort of fairly familiar with those nine items. The interesting thing is that they're all standalone. They're all gifts, but then unlike the fruit, which is all mixed together in one and you get the whole deal, with these, it says God gives to different people in the church different gifts. They are a benefit not to the outsiders, not to ourselves, but to the church, in growing us as a church and in growing the kingdom. So it might be numerical growth, it might be spiritual growth, probably both. They are tools. Very important to realise that they are tools to be used. They're capabilities. And they're distributed, as I said, one here, one there, one somewhere else. A and they're all very desirable. I was, leave that for a minute. There's more, because we read about those nine. Did you know that there's actually another list there in Romans with another bunch of eight. Prophecy is actually a duplicate, so you can seven, so it's only a six extra. But there's more. There's another couple of lists you can come across as well, which I omit to find out where they are. Oh, no, I don't. I did note it down. Corinthians 12:28, a list of appointments, and Ephesians 4, there's another five roles of equipping the saints. But these are actually listed as specific spiritual gifts by Paul in Romans there. So, come Christmas time, and bear in mind, it's only 227 days away, you'll hopefully have a gift or two coming from someone or someones, and you might be giving gifts to people, and you'll probably have tailored the gifts according to what people need, and you'll be desiring things. You probably don't want another Christmas jumper or yet another set of socks, all these sorts of things, but you might have things that you really desire. Spiritual gifts, we're told to desire them. Desire earnestly the greater gift, it says in 1 Corinthians 12. You probably recognise Bob here, Bob the Builder, and he comes round and sorts things out. He'll fix it for you. But if you ask for a tradesman to come round, you'd expect him to have the belt on with all the tools. And if you've got a plumber coming, hopefully he'll have a couple of spanners rather than just a snorkel. Because you want him to actually be able to fix the job. And there's different tools for different jobs. Some tools are absolutely vital. If you're trying to bang in a nail, a screwdriver or a saw won't do very much for you. The tools are all different, but some of them are vital. There's nothing else will really bang in that nail. They're directional. Gifts like wisdom and knowledge. They give purpose and direction, vision of what we should be doing. They can be encouraging as we work together. And we need to work together. Paul says that the church is the body of Christ, and there's different members have different functions. I worked on a team at my last church, and we would do projects together, physical projects, often electrical, but others as well, building, constructional. And we all brought different skills into it. And we were able to work together and produce a good result and encourage one another as we did so. And also productive. There's different ways of measuring distance, for example. I can sort of pace out from here to that wall, and I don't know what it is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and a bit, nearly 6 paces, so it's about 18 foot or something. I could get smile, God's love you ruler, Christian ruler, God have a Christian ruler. I could get that and I could measure it along. Or I could get one of these things and I could just, you see a little red dot there? Bonk. It's 4.732 metres. Much more productive and much more accurate than using that or pacing. So tools can be productive, and the gifts of the Spirit are tools to help us as a church be more productive in getting God's kingdom out. So, you often see that on the back of van, trade vans. Why? You're asleep? No. Why? Pardon? Because they're valuable. Tools are valuable. And that's why they don't leave them in the van and they make sure that all the little tea leaves know that there are no tools in the van. They're putting a big sign there, no tools left in this vehicle overnight. They are valuable. The gifts of the Spirit are valuable. They're valuable. That's why Paul says, desire earnestly the greater gifts. So, in recapping, we had on the fruit of the Spirit. Well, firstly, we said fruit and gifts. Hopefully, you've got the picture that they are quite different. On the fruit, they're implanted in all Christians when we become a Christian, when God's nature takes over, is planted in us. But it has to struggle its way through. So on the fruit, we've got God's character should be showing through us. When people see us, they say, what's different about that person? Just like Calvin's mum. It shone out of her. It impacts those we come into contact with. And although it's planted by God, it has to be nurtured by us. God leaves us to do part of that work. The gifts of the Spirit, instead, they are distributed, one here, one there. But they're essential for the church's mission. If we're actually to grow and do God's work in this place, in Swanley, we need those gifts in action in our church. I was sharing earlier, I've been around a lot of churches. I used to work for a brief period for the Church of England, and I had to go and visit small churches, mostly small churches. And I go around at the moment and preach at a number of other churches, which is why you're spared from seeing me too often. And I go around, and sometimes it almost breaks my heart seeing churches that are just with their fingernails grasping on, just trying to hold the status quo. That's not what God's asking us to do. He's asking us to move forward. We sang at the beginning a song, arising as God's mighty army. Can't remember the exact words, but words to that effect. Arise as an army of God to do his mission. It's productive if we've got the tools to do the job. So we know God's will. We know what to do, how to do it. Just as I say, there's lots of ways of doing things, but some ways are better than others. They're much more productive, and the gifts will help us be productive. And lastly, the gifts are valuable. So I'd close with that, saying, make sure that you're nurturing God's nature within you. That's what he's asking. The fruit is actually there. It's up to us to make sure that it really ripens and is visible. And on the gifts, earnestly pray to God that he will give, as he determines, his gifts to make this a mighty army in Swanley. Amen.